Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a dude, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
Gentlemen, this is the About Last Night show. I am Brad Williams over there. Adam Ray, Babalu. Hey,
Babalu.
Babalu. Wait,
Jay calls me Babalu.
Yeah, Jay Moore calls you Babalu. Having a busy week, Babalu is.
It's been a week to remember. I haven't had a week this good since my fifth grade basketball team, the Ninja Turtles.
You did not have a team called the Ninja Turtles.
Okay, you're right. I just made that up for the sake. Yes, of course I did, you fucking asshole.
That's
yeah,
awesome.
Man. And we were terrible, but we won three games in a row 1 week. Mm-hmm. And it was and this was a big deal. I think I've told this story before on the podcast where we beat in the championship an mm-hmm. all-black team that we had never.
Oh, shit, motherfucker.
That fat motherfucker's killing us.
Remember? Oh, that yeah, story.
That was
yeah.
I was a fat, quick kid. I'd hit threes because I'd shoot all day, but I was a quick fat. Like, I was quick fat, so I'd be up and down the court. Like, you know, Elijah Wan was my favorite player, so I'd have these quick post moves. And it was all black team. We were super intimidated, not because they were black, because we never played an all black team before.
Wait, what's the difference?
There is none. So
I'm in nice
threes.
Like, no, seriously, I'm not racist.
And it was just me and this point and our point guard that were killing them. And yeah. The one black dude, black dad on the other side, not the one, one of many black dads, he was like all, that guy who wasn't the coach, but he should have been the coach because he got way more intense on every play than any dad. Mm-hmm. And he literally, as I'm running down the court after I hit my third three in a row to put us up by like two with like, you know, 20 seconds left, literally just goes, man, that fat motherfucker's killing us. And
done.
All the parents are like, kind of like, whatever. And I remember thinking, like, not offended at all. I was just like, yeah, like, I am killing you guys.
I don't know what it is. You know what? Let's introduce our guest first. Our guest is the funniest redhead not named Bill Burr. His name is Andrew Santino.
Yeah.
Very funny comedian, friend
you,
of ours, and you've seen
I got
him.
Two of my best friends in studio today.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's awesome.
In your bedroom?
Yeah, they're in my bedroom. Yeah, okay. They're locked in my closet. The names are Petrie from Land Before Time. Yes. It's a little plush. It's a little beanie baby.
Petrie and Little Foots?
Yeah.
There you go.
Little Foot or Little Foots?
I think it was Foot. Yeah. But
I love that you just corrected me and then moved on.
Yeah,
it's a little foot. Anyway, you fucking idiot.
But what I was gonna say is there's something about being a white guy, and we're all white guys here. That when a black man validates anything you do, it just seems better.
Oh yeah,
like it just seems like okay, I really earned this because the black guy said it. Like a bunch of people can tell me I'm funny when I get off the stage. But Paul Mooney was sitting off the stage at the Laugh Factory one time and just gave me a fist pound.
That's it.
Didn't even say you're funny.
Of your life.
I'm just like, oh shit, I think I'm really good at this.
Yeah,
because Paul Mooney just gave me a fist pound.
Why is that though?
I like it.
Because none of us grew up around African Americans a lot, so I guess it's a new type of compliment.
I did, and I like it. It's better when a white person tells you they don't like something that you've done or have, mm-hmm. and a black guy's like, I love that shit, and you're like, yeah.
so it's even cooler. So it's good.
It's cooler if a white guy's like. You like those shoes? Aren't they a little too bright? And your black friend's like, I love them fucking
that's
bright.
That's what's up. Oh, yeah. Also, black guys compliment things in a way better way. Like when I would, you know, the only time I'd done shows for an all black audience was with Sinbad. And these people come up
Wait,
after.
Black people go see Sinbad?
They love him, dude. I would have old black women come
He's
up to me and be like,
shit.
You funny as hell. You fucking, you got some shit going with you. Oh, you crazy. You crazy is a sassy black woman's way
stupid.
Of saying you're great. Yeah.
You stupid.
And then the big dudes, and then the, you know, guys would come up and give me like, you know, kind of like, yeah, man, yeah, you funny as shit, man. Or like, that's what's up. It's like, you know.
And then you go to Kansas City and everyone's like, thank you for the show. Everything was wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. or hey, man, you see my tooth?
I don't know what it is. And it's not even what the black guy says, but it's as long as it's in that positive format.
Yeah.
Because I got off stage one time and a guy just said, dude, you straight ignorant.
Ignorant's great.
Ignorant.
Great, yeah.
Not ignore ant. Ignorant. And I was just like, I don't know what the fuck that means, but yes.
But I love it.
I imagine it means something else to them, too.
You have a great bit, but I'm not going to make you do it, but it's one of my favorite bits because you talk about how I'm going blank. The
Oh, the interracial dating?
No, black people in sports. But that you want a black child, right?
I say I don't like... This always like ruses the crowd a little bit. I say I can't stand to see interracial couples.
That's what it is, yeah.
I don't like to see that. Yeah. People always get like weirded out. Right. And I'm like, no, I just don't want to see... I don't want to see that because I genuinely care about the future of sports.
Yeah. Dude, that's such a great setup.
You always want to keep the bloodlines pure.
That's right.
By the way, you always get them with that. That first, even if they are, they're like, hey, man, where are you going with this?
And I say, what? I don't want a black guy ruining it and like putting it in some white chick. Like, what a waste. It's like, we're just going to get like a community college player or something like that. Like, we want
maybe we'll get Mark
D1
Madsen,
athletes.
Right.
Yeah. You don't get LeBron James with Michael Jordan having sex with...
And Tori from Van Nuys. It doesn't happen.
Yeah, yeah. Something that tells me Dikembe Mutombo and Tanya Harding aren't going to make some fucking superstar.
No, no, no.
By the way, those are two people I'd love to see on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
That's an amazing combo.
I would never want to get into casting, mm-hmm. but for shows like that, yeah.
Absolutely.
But you should cast it. No, no, no. You could cast a really good comedy show that you did like that, like a docu make fun of a reality but make it a comedy. That'd be a great cast.
Or like a roast. I would want to cast a roast.
Same thing. Like, yeah, like that.
Who would you, if you could pick anyone to roast?
Anybody to roast?
Yeah, like to see a roast of. Like if they're doing the next Comedy Central roast. Like who would you want to see? That was obscure. Like not some, because they're always picking people that's like, right. Hey, you know, Charlie Sheen was, or Trump. They were kind of topical. But
it was so obvious. Those are such obvious. I would love to see, and this would never happen because America's a bunch of fucking pussies. I would love to see Oprah get roasted.
Oh,
I would
wow.
love to see
that.
That
would be awesome.
Because it's such like a Puritan thing about her. Like everyone's like, she's so perfect. Like I want to see someone just lay into her.
And see her take it, too.
Yeah,
because she never takes it.
Because that's to show that you're human. Like,
sure.
She's such an apparition. She's like on every one of her magazines. And it's all Oprah this.
Right.
Like,
you would just love for a comic to be like, really? Every single issue of Oprah magazine.
Yes, break her down a little bit.
Oprah magazine's coming out. One who's on the cover. Ah, it's Oprah. Yeah. And I bet you she's doing something you don't expect her to do.
Right. Right. It's just like
new cream that cures your bunions.
and by the way, it's all organic. It's sponsored by like Burt's Bees. Yeah. Obama uses it. Like automatically, anything she touches turns to gold.
Yeah.
Everything.
Right. She is, I guess, on the is it precipice? Is that the right word?
Precipice, yeah.
Yeah. Of like what's new and hip. Like she'd always, you know, but how do they have, they must have a team of researchers that make sure they're like, hey, yeah, this new,
oh, dude, she's
this
got
new
so
thing
many
is the thing. Because once she
her.
Puts her name on it, you're right, it's over.
Yeah, everything is check and balance there. That's a well oiled marketing
machine. What if she sponsored
machine?
Like some new dildo or butt plug or something? Like,
that would be the most popular butt
plug. She should do that just to see, because butt plugs. You know, I don't know how popular they are right now.
Super popular.
Okay,
right.
But imagine,
this is like the boom for butt plugs right now. I'm pretty sure we're in a butt plug boom.
Can you imagine?
Which is
this?
Ironically the name of the butt plug that she would sponsor.
The butt plug.
Oprah's butt plug.
The butt plug boom. Yeah, it's the Oprah butt plug. It's fat. It's thin. It's fat. It's thin.
It grows and it expands and then deflates as you've used it over the years. Wait, but here's
and
my
it
thing.
It comes with a free Stedman bobblehead.
just like watching you butt plug yourself.
you have to set him up as you butt plug yourself.
See, because Oprah definitely has, I mean, she's like the queen of everything. She definitely has fuck you money to where she can just like, I don't give a shit. If I were her, she can't, like no one event could ruin her in terms of like put her out on the street. So why not sponsor a butt plug?
Sure.
Be like, fuck it. Let's see how powerful I am.
And there'd be some sort of like voice automated thing that like when you get it in the right spot in your anus, it goes, Harrison Ford is here! Inside.
you put it in like a little hologram, shoots out like Carrie Fisher out of R2-D2 and it's just of Tom Cruise jumping on
the couch.
You're like, oh shit, I hit the right spot.
I think she's too perfect. Dude. But here's what I think. I think this is so crass and like childlike. The great equalizer is, remember, no matter what Oprah does or is, she still shits. Like when you wake up in the morning, we all poop.
Everybody poops.
And like as simple as
great
that
book.
Is, I swear to God, it's so like, yeah, dude. But what that book is really trying to say is like, who are you intimidated of? Your boss? Yeah. Think about that dude poops in the morning just like you. Like there's nothing cool
also,
about
Also, but not just poops. Like we all, like...
We're all gross.
We out. And we also have all had, like, awful poops.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I think of, to really connect us. Because nobody just sits down, like, just because you have more money doesn't mean you just sit down and it fucking falls out and
that's
you get
perfect
up.
Perfect poop.
Perfect poop. No. You're grabbing the side of the wall sometimes. You ate a little bit too much fiber and it backed you up. Maybe you had to take a Vicodin that your friend gave you because you had a little bit of back pain. And all of a sudden, you're in a rush to go to work, but fucking a 6-minute poop is now taking 48 minutes. You're making up excuses to cancel meetings because you don't want to say that you're fucking backed up.
That's why rich people are famous people are always late to meetings. They're always
they're all pooping. They eat that straight organic diet. Everything goes right through them. They can't do anything.
Too many kale salads. That's what it is.
Here's one thing. This is how you know that you've really known a person.
Yeah.
Is when you can recognize their I got a poop run.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Because there's definitely a run that's different than your normal run, which is the I got a poop run, which is all right. Because normally, something hits your ass, you're like, all right, I got about 5 minutes, and I'm good. But then every now and then, something hits where you're like, minute 10 tops, and you are hauling. But it's that hauling ass where it's like your butt cheeks are still squeezed together, so you're like kind of high-kicking as you're running.
Right. Like
you know, you're doing that thing.
You're pinching the whole way.
Yeah, exactly. And like you're like trying to make it cool, like throwing a little black-eyed limp.
I don't know why, but I want to see your poop run really bad, Brad.
Well, but see, here's the thing. My normal run looks like a poop run.
Poop run. Poop run, L.A. Poop run, L.A.
Wait a minute.
4th of July, the poop run.
Wait, everybody just
Everyone has to eat a bunch of X-Lax and run 3 miles downtown L.A. The poop run, L.A.
Potpourri.
And wait a minute.
It's
and
just potpourri lining the streets.
And there's porta-potties on every stop, so you can have an out. And the person who doesn't, and who probably will either shit their pants as they're running and gets to the finish line, gets like $30,000 donated to a charity of their choice.
Oh. Wait, to colon cancer charity.
To colon cancer, obviously. Or to Oprah's butt plugs.
Metamucil, you've got to sponsor this shit. Why are we coming up with such brilliant ideas?
Dude, the poop run to raise money?
The poop run. Well, here's what's great. Here's what's great about the poop run, ladies
and gentlemen. Well, because they just had the mud run.
Yeah, the poop run.
So they just had the mud run at Huntington Beach.
Here's the king. Here's the king. Here's the king of poop run. Is that when you're in first place, you won first place. But also, if you poop first and last place, you're still in first place in the poop run. You've won no matter what.
But, and then... Okay, and then here is the motto of the poop run.
Hey, sometimes you gotta go.
Here it is. No matter where you finish, we're all number two.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's great.
This has been the podcast, everyone. I'm gonna tap out on that line right there.
Later, guys.
You should get out of here.
We alluded to it. Well, that was a weird sentence. We alluded to it earlier in the podcast, but this has been a very big week for a buddy over here. Adam Ray, whose movie The Heat comes out. It'll probably already be out by the time this podcast comes out. So go see the movie The Heat with Sandra Bullock and all of them funny folk.
Yeah, don't go see it for me. Go see it because it's a very funny movie.
Yeah.
And I mean, I probably wouldn't say that if it wasn't, but I probably wouldn't be as forward about saying that I actually the first time I saw it, I was like, I'm in this. And it was weird. And I was watching it objectively and like watching the stuff that I'd read in the script. And it was just, you know, I couldn't enjoy it.
Right.
And then that the premiere, I was actually able to, like, sit back, and my mom was next to me, and I was just, like, and laughing with people that
You took your mom to the premiere?
Oh, yeah. Took her on the red carpet.
What a fucking sweetheart this kid over here.
And here's how mom, even on the red carpet, my mom mothers me so much. Like, I mean.
They can't stop.
You know, constantly calling, asking if I'm eating when I'm home. It's just, like, you know, putting forks down in my hand as I'm eating. You know, here's a fork. Use it for your salad. Oh, really? Is that fucking what it's for?
That's what it is.
Like, it just constantly asking me to put on more coats and everything. We're on the red carpet. She's standing there. She's looking at everybody. She sees Sandra walk down, and she says hi to us real quick. And then she's behind talking to Entertainment Tonight and all the people. Mom goes, go ahead and stand. Let's just stand behind Sandra. I go, what? She goes, stand by them, because then when they finish with her, they'll be like, oh, and then maybe we'll interview you right after that. I go, that's not how it works, Mom. She goes, well, you don't know if you don't do it. You can stand there and talk to me, or you can go stand behind Entertainment Tonight. I was like, what are you doing? What are the fucking records?
She's a good agent.
She's telling me what to do.
She's a good agent.
Oh, yeah.
She's your damn publicist.
And so she, then at the premiere party, she's just super giddy, and she's going up, she's taking pictures. I'm talking to Bill Burr at one point. She just holds the fucking phone, who I never really talked to. He's my favorite comic. I'm not in a conversation with him. And she just fucking big flash and just fucking dicks at me. And he was like, oh, shit, what a
Billy,
fuck?
Billy, you're my boy's favorite comedian.
She goes up to Marlon Wayans and does that. And then, this is the big one, Ben Affleck's there because he lives in New York.
Okay.
So she's like, I want to go talk to him at some point. I was like, Mom, just take it down a notch. Like, I don't want you to do, like, too much. She's like, I'm fine. So I'm over at the bar, and then she just comes over. She goes, I just talked to Ben Affleck. And then she does it. She's like, blah, 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 and this and that. And she tried to get a picture with him, but my stepdad fucked it up. So I was like, all right, at least I can do. My mom, you know, fucking pushed me out, you know,
sure.
worked three jobs for a while, you know, to raise my sister and I. So I was like, I can ask to get a fucking Affleck picture. So I was like, hey, man.
She always encouraged you to buy your first pair of purple pants.
Sure. Yeah.
See, I encourage what your mom did for moms and families out of town that are yeah. like, they're like, oh, should I go? Because
it's so easy to
like,
stand
I
in the background. No, exactly.
You go do it.
Yeah.
But once, it's totally appropriate.
Yes.
They're like, we're from out of town.
And also, right. I'm the mom of whatever. And I was in the, you know, and if I wasn't in the movie, it'd be super weird. Then it's just like, I'm a person here that's a fan. But it's like that little connection. Because then when she didn't get the picture, I go, all right. I go, was he in the movie? Because I'm not just going to go up to him. And so then I use that as an introduction. I go, hey, man, I don't want to bother you. I was in the movie. I had the beard. He goes, oh, yeah, yeah. No, nice job, man. It was good. And I go, thanks. I don't want to be. And as soon as he said that, that to me was an open up for the conversation. I wanted to be like, man, so in Good Will Hunting, did you fuck, you know. But I just go, do you mind getting another picture of my mom? My stepdad fucked up. He goes, stepdads are always fucking it up, man. And then he just takes the camera and does it with her. And it was, and then she, you know, made it.
But how great of a moment that you can do that for your mom. And she's excited about it.
Oh, she's
like,
stoked.
Because, you know, when we first started getting stuff and making stuff happen, like when you got the call to be on According to Jim, your life was changed. And
dude, my mom was with me. She was down here visiting, and she flipped out. And I was just like, okay, cool. But in my head, I was like, yeah, this is great. But, you know, I got to build from here. This is the beginning, you know,
right.
7 years ago. And but she, you know, and then she's way more excited. And, I mean, your parents, too, are just super. I mean,
they're stoked.
And Andrew's on a show coming out.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. On ABC.
On ABC.
On ABC. Making the ABC money.
That Disney Mixology. Money, bro. What's up, Mickey?
Oh, yeah, Disney always is behind it.
Yeah,
it's the writers from The Hangover. It's called Mixology on ABC.
Okay.
Andrew, by far, not only does he have the best part on the show, and he kills it, just from the previews I saw,
thanks,
but also
buddy.
From knowing him, but it's one. It's to me, it's looks like it's going to be one of the best just parts on TV next year. Tell them what you do.
When does it come out, first of all?
We're mid-season, so we're going to be in January.
Okay.
It's good. Because there's a lot of good shows on ABC that are coming out.
It also takes place in the bar, and that's right around, like, football shit. Like, it's going to be
perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. The writers of The Hangover wrote it, John Lucas and Scott Moore. Larry Charles directed it.
Do you know who that is, Brett?
Larry Charles?
Let me just name a couple things. Most Seinfelds he directed.
Yeah. Done.
Most Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Done.
Oh, Borat?
Yeah, he did that Borat one.
That Borat movie directed that.
I hear that one broke about even.
It almost. I think it almost broke. I don't know if
made
any.
It was like a small release in Dakota.
Holy shit! So you got like you've got a dream team behind you.
It's fantastic, dude. We're lucky, and the show honestly, what Adam said before. I know this sounds bullshit, but it's
right.
It's funny, dude. Like I honestly, if it was shit. Okay, here's a good example. Last year, I did a pilot for CBS.
Mm-hmm.
Openly, it was so shit. Like it was shit. My agent was like, "Do you like it?" I'm like, "No, dude.
No,
it's dude,
a paycheck.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
It's bad." So,
yeah.
Like, this, I'm actually, like, really proud of.
That's really
of.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool. And what is your part on the show?
So, it's a
single camera.
Yeah, it's an ensemble cast, single camera.
Awesome.
Right. And it's, I'm kind of the, I'm the wild, in the group of friends, these three guys, I'm, like, the wild dickhead from college who's never gotten his shit together.
Okay, so.
I'm, like, the one who's, like, that crazy asshole friend that's, like.
You're the Belushi character, essentially.
Exactly.
Perfect.
Like, hey, everyone, you should fuck that girl. You should fuck that. Like, I'm the advice giver, big talker. You know what I mean? Like, I'm this. Mm-hmm. I'm the guy that thinks he's the hot shit in the world. But yet, I'm still the ginger face with a huge beard. I'm going to have a massive beard.
Like, Galifianakis style, just
big,
like huge.
That's what
huge,
they wanted.
Huge red beard.
They were like, keep growing it. Because Larry Charles has a beard, like, down to here, and he's like. He's like, you like your beard? I was like, yeah. He's like, well, they want to keep it at its length, but I say grow it out. And it was like 2 months before we started shooting. So I grew it out a ton. So
perfect.
I have to grow it out.
Yeah. Now, when you come into a show, and who else is in the show?
Scott Baio, the guy who played.
Scott Baio,
the guy who played, not the, what was his name on California Dreams? Not the guy who played Weasel. The guy, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
He was like the Screech for California Dreams.
Yeah.
I always wanted those two to break off and make their own show, by the way.
Scott
called Baio. We're the guys who get all the fucking. We get no pussy, is what like they.
We get no pussy. Scott Baio gets
Scott
pussy.
Baio was, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Scott Baio's not on it.
It's for lack of a better term, it's no name. It's not no names. Vanessa Lenges is on Glee.
Okay.
My buddy Blake Lee he did like 9 episodes of Parks and Rec last year. So it's like people that are working.
So it's a bunch of actors that you go, oh, that guy.
Yeah.
Yep.
But not the.
We don't know. They never wanted like a big, like, here's the name, you know, like,
right.
Which I'm totally stoked of.
Well, because you look at a show like Modern Family.
Or Friends. Or
yeah, or Friends, or any of those sort of ensemble. Who's the name in modern... Like, I would say Ed O'Neill would have been the name.
He was the only
from Modern Family.
Yeah.
And he's not even the biggest part in it.
Oh, yeah. When they made it, you mean?
Yeah. So it's... That's a show where you know that they're relying on the writing and that it's going to be a great fucking show where they're not just going, hey, Jessica Simpson, you're big right now. Right. Carry this entire fucking show. In between putting out shoe lines and perfume and popping out kids, right. Do a fucking comedy show. Which, by the way, I'm saying that because NBC actually greenlit a pilot.
I know.
With Jessica Simpson.
When?
In a sitcom.
When?
It didn't what? Happen. It's not. It was this year, right? It didn't happen.
God.
Yeah.
But by the way, that's a great billboard. Is like Jessica Simpson up on a billboard, and it says she's really big this year, and then just her,
just her pregnant again.
Just pregnant again. No.
Or just like a shot of like a big ass trying to squeeze into mom jeans, like just the back of it, or the way like if a big butt like hangs over like a chair.
You know when the butt goes through the back of the
chair?
That's what
I'm talking about,
yes. Oh, so funny to me. But
the wicker chairs?
Well, like at a restaurant, you're like, look at that guy's butt.
Yeah, it's just oozing through like Play-Doh through one of those fake hot dog machines. You know when you make like Play-Doh hot dogs?
You're just pressing it out.
You push the thing down in the plate. There's the sound.
Oh, my God. All right, I had an incident last night. I did the Ontario Improv last night, and a guy comes up, and he's... like the morbidly obese guy, like the guy that they just used the jaws of life to get him out of his house.
They carted him in.
He's on the scooter.
Oh my God.
And he just rolls up to me, and his head's kind of to the side. Like he can't even lift his head. It's so fucking heavy.
Yeah.
And then he gets up and he says, absolutely straight faced, I'm your biggest fan.
Oh man.
And I'm just
cool.
Like, biggest. Oh, of course. No shit.
Brad's fucking. Yeah,
I'm just like biting my hand, going, "All right, don't say it, don't say it, don't say it."
But should have just said it.
Oh, well, I mean, he's at a comedy show, and
now
he's there,
came to see you, man.
Yeah, and
it's good.
And so I'm thrilled that he's there, but I don't know what it is about. I guess disabled comics, like the disabled community, we don't have a lot of people out there. So when one of us makes it, it doesn't even have to be our disability. We're like, all right, we support. Right. Like, my audience, a lot of the times, just looks like a fucking Special Olympics tryout. Like, everyone's going out, like, you're our man, Ray Williams. And it's just, it looks like a casting session for Legit. Like, it's that, just
oh
kind,
my God.
It's that kind of crazy. Where
well, Adam, you get a lot of disabled to come to your show.
Tons. I get 60% deaf.
You're great. What?
You want Gwen and I'm Wayne.
If you had a whole bunch of deaf people in the audience, I would just say what the whole time. I'd go, what?
Have you ever done a show, though, with the sign language translator?
Yeah.
I want to do that really bad.
No, but I think
reason.
That's really funny.
Yeah. Anytime I see people post pictures or even video of like that, it always seems like I think Swartzen had one that was unreal because he's just so filthy. And he was doing something about shitting, jerking off something, and the woman doing the hand motions. And that's when he like looked over and saw her doing it. And then she stops and she doesn't look back at him. So then he just at one point said like, started making up a bunch of shit, and he goes, so I was fucking the butt of this thing, and this guy was jerking off on my, and she starts doing all this
shit. Oh my God.
Because the signs for that is exactly what you think it is.
Yeah, man, she has to do it.
Wait, you know what's crazy? This is very stony talk, but like, imagine if you're an interpreter, you know, you're a sign interpreter, like, you also have to have a pretty good amount of personality, too, to match the comedians. Like, imagine a deaf guy's like, I didn't really like the show. Like, because he didn't like the interpreter. It has nothing to do with the comic.
Oh, yeah. He's judging so your like, comedy based on her sign.
Yes. Yeah, so, like, if she's signing for Stephen Wright, all right, you don't have to put in that much effort.
Exactly.
It's just, like, doing that. But if you're signing for, like, Kinison.
Cat Williams or something.
Yeah, you know,
Jesus.
All pimping be pimping. Right. You know.
How do you sign that?
Do not say my hair is not luxurious because you know it is. Like, how do you sign that but then get Cat's?
Right.
Like, you have to have
his.
I think that, especially for a guy like Cat. Guy like Cat Williams, the signer has to be dressed like Cat Williams.
Exactly.
Like, has to have, like, the green fluorescent suit and, like, the hair perfectly
Absolutely. Permed
and just all that because you really can't get the full effect if it's some white girl from Minnesota just signing and pimpin' be pimpin'.
Yeah.
you know what's
amazing?
Well,
they have to get active in the face, too. I think you really got
to.
Like, you know.
We all said her because we've never seen a male do it. Like,
yeah.
We all know it's a her. It's always a chick.
It's always
a
girl.
We never hear a dude. I mean,
we're not smart enough. Guys aren't that smart.
You're exactly right.
Yeah.
They're smarter than us. Girls have more patience. They're like, I learned Spanish, French, and sign.
And sign language, yeah.
I don't.
The guy's like, yeah, I fucked this deaf girl. Yeah. No, yeah.
The guy's like, oh, I fucked the Spanish girl.
I learned sign language. Yeah. Yeah, you never. Yeah.
But I didn't retain any of the language skills, however.
And I have a bit on my first album, Coming Up Short, which is available on iTunes and Amazon and all that.
Brad Williams.
Woo!
Coming Up
What's
Short.
What's the name of the album?
Coming Up Short.
Coming Up Short.
I thought he was being a smartass. Coming Up Short.
Friday. Get your copy at Target, Walmart, and all Bed Bath & Beyond towel sections.
It's in the Beyond section.
It's the CD you don't want to show your kids or your dog.
But, like, I have a bit where I'm talking.
Sponsored by Pachanga Casino.
and that whole deaf thing happened. But my favorite one has got to be Nick Thune's bit about doing it with the deaf girl signing, where he's like, I just stopped doing my jokes, and I started saying the words like, hey, this comedian isn't really very funny. You're kind of cute.
Oh, that's good.
Do you want to get out of here? Maybe, like, right. Go behind a dumpster somewhere, and I'll suck you off. Like, and he's saying that, so the woman has to sign it, and all of a sudden the deaf guy's like, huh? Am I getting laid right now?
That's pretty clever, man.
Yeah, you know it is.
You guys you never played a deaf character on Punk'd, did you?
No, dude. MTV and would not
Andrew
allow
Santino
it.
Andrew Santino was on Punk'd.
I was.
So
yeah,
I've known Andrew for probably, I don't know, 6 years?
Something like that,
right?
Yeah.
We know each other for a while, but I think where we got to spend a lot of, you know, because so many of us, I feel like you see around comedy clubs, you have a lot of, like, what's up conversations. Mm-hmm. Every now and then a night, you'll have more than a 5-minute what's up, how you doing,
right.
Catch me up on what you've been doing thing.
Yeah. Right.
And then Andrew got a job writing on Punk'd and mm-hmm. producing, and you'd already worked with those guys right before.
Yeah.
And they needed him to get somebody to do it with that he, like, you know, gelled with and, like, could come up with ideas and basically just sit in the room and come up with pranks all day, every day for 12 hours, just bouncing off ideas, trying to hope that some of them hit. And so he recommends me, and he's like, you know, I'm referring a couple dudes, whatever, we'll see. Like, he's going to probably meet with you, then meet with whatever. So I meet with this dude, I come up with some shit, and he was just like, and then Andrew calls me, you know, 2 days later and was like, where are you? And I was like, oh, in Dallas doing a show and hanging out with my aunt. And he's like, you got to fly back tomorrow because you're going to ride with me on Punk'd. And I was like,
hey. That was awesome.
So then I went back, and then we did it for, you know, like 3 months, and then the show got shut down.
Well, because we were cool, but, like, we weren't really close like we are now.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I think it was that thing where he was like, get somebody that you really like. Versus, he goes, don't get, like, your best friend. Mm-hmm. He goes, just get someone you really like. And it was that time in like, comedy where everyone, like, you kind of started to delineate between, like, who you were like, that guy's funny, man. He's going to be really good, or he's right. good right now. Or
guys
that you're like,
people were doing, and they were hustling. And
yeah, and you just, sure. I don't know, you just felt, I don't know, but I was like, we had started to run into each other more at shows. And
yeah,
and
it was also
sense.
Enough to where it was like you could tell that we would, you know, had enough rapport but would work without just fucking around. But then, you know, a lot of fucking around because you have to, like, break it up. It's like we'd sit there coming up with ideas for 4 or 5 hours. And then he was like, let's just take a walk. And we'd start talking about other shit to, like, clear your mind. Because,
sure.
like, that was such a new world for me coming up with, like, you know, you feel like you're funny. But trying to, like, structure giant pranks is a completely different part of your brain.
It is, right. yeah.
And there's all these variables that I would learn that we had to consider and
like the deaf thing, like we could never do that.
Yeah.
Like we couldn't we got away with so much already. Like we put Drake through a fake earthquake was like the greatest thing we've ever
Holy
done.
Holy shit.
I mean and he believed it.
How'd you do a fake earthquake?
We
just some sort of machine or is
yeah,
this
like we put him in the bottom of the Getty parking garage.
Uh-huh.
And which was great. He thought he was going to meet the vice president. Like he was in, bro. We had fake CIA pick him up at his house.
Is that even possible? Like, why would
how
he think that that's
that?
Going to
yeah.
happen?
But that's the beauty of that stuff. Is like, how would you think that?
Because you think Joe Biden is chilling in his limo, going last name ever, first name greatest. Like you really think that?
I have that GIF on my phone. Joe Biden. No, but he thought he was going down there. When he went down there, they do like when you really go to meet like high ranked officials, like they do like sweeps of your car and like
right.
we study all that stuff. We had to learn all that stuff and like so we were doing a sweep and as they do a sweep, they attach almost like in a perpetual motion watch. There's an uneven weight and a weight spins mm-hmm. in a circumference. So when it spins, it shakes. You know what
okay.
I mean? You can
yeah.
shake it. That's exactly a big one of those underneath the vehicle. So it shakes
oh, wow.
really bad. We shook all the cars in the garage that we had planted and broke a bunch of lights. And
yeah,
let me tell you, he bought it. He not only did he buy it, he held on to his buddy. grabbed his buddy next to him. He's like, yo, dog, I'm scared, bro. I'm scared, dog. I mean, like, the fact that he let us put it out was crazy because I thought he looked like
yeah, because they have to approve it.
That he has to.
Because you guys will do some fucking gnarly shit on people.
Yeah,
Steve Ranazzisi, who's on the league, told me a story when he was on Punk'd that they did to A-Rod that he was like a waiter at like talking about how he like had been with his girl or something before.
Yeah, was sleeping with his girlfriend prior to him. Like he was like, and there's, he, I think he was like, he was saying there was overlap. Like he was boning her first, but like A-Rod, he's like, you can have her now, I guess.
Which is kind of nuts to do.
To A-Rod? Yeah, dude. Yeah, so I guess, a massive dude.
And he said A-Rod was like super pit. I think, was that the one where he said he grabbed him? Or
A-Rod grabbed him.
Yeah. And then, you know, obviously it was great footage, but then A-Rod was like, you're for sure not airing that.
Yeah.
But Ranzizi was like so he was like, man, it was I was like wanting to call quit, and I was trying to like, but they wouldn't say stop. Like nobody came out. Like they weren't letting me see how far they could, you know, have to go.
Well, this is my last Punk story. I'll do it real fast. But there's an unnamed I can't say the rapper's name, but there was a rapper that years and seasons ago, back when it was like in the middle of its hotness.
Coolio.
Got
dude,
it.
Dude, why did you do? You got
because I know Coolio.
You know Coolio.
And what he's up to. Hi, I'm Tone Loc.
Tone.
Let's do it. What a great voice.
This rapper walked into the MTV studios where they had Punk'd, and he hated the bit so much. After the day, they thought it was all good, and then he hated came the next day with like a clique of people, went into someone's office, flashed a gun that was on his waist, and goes, give me that fucking tape,
you're
or you're going to have problems. And as you can imagine, the tape was handed over within moments, and that never made it to air, never was talked about. Internally, people talk about it all the
time. You think one security guard was just like, now hold on a second, Julio. let's not be hasty.
What's going to happen now is people are going to like do that scan listening through this, and they're going to go, did Coolio fucking did that? Like, that's what's going to come out of this.
Yeah, because nobody's going to, but through that, you got to go, and this might be one of the coolest late night things ever, where you went on Kimmel. It was Kutcher was going on to promote it because it was still his. It was Bieber was hosting it.
Yeah,
and then, but it was Kutcher was like the
executive producing it.
Also, he's the one who made the first one so popular.
Oh my god!
How many seasons did they do the original one?
Like, six.
But dude, that's unreal.
Six or seven.
Yeah. I remember. I mean, do you remember how? I mean, this last one was super popular, but that first one was like game changing because celebrities hadn't been pranked like that before.
Right. As soon as that first one with I think it was Justin Timberlake aired, you were like, oh shit!
When he cried.
Yeah.
And people were like, well, that the game has changed forever.
Yeah.
You can make a guy cry, a celebrity cry.
Yeah, dude, that guy.
On purpose?
Yeah.
Like, legit.
And that's where the song Cry Me a River came from.
Cry me a river.
Yeah, because he's like,
you can't take all my stuff. I'm crying on TV. I'm crying a whole river.
You imagine that one of the actors is like, yo, stop crying, bro. We're on camera. You wanted to say that to him.
One of the guys, too, is just like, it's not real, dude.
It's not real. JK, we're JK.
But so you got to do something on Kimmel then?
Yeah, Bieber and this is.
You can look it up on YouTube.
Bieber and Ashton were on Kimmel and they were promoting. And actually, Ashton was like, Santino. Well, people were like, Santino's drunk. I was drunk that day at the studio. Like, we got wasted partying. You know, we were like, going to go to the show and have a good time. And someone told Ashton, they were like, Santino's drunk and he wants to run out on camera, like during the interview. Mm-hmm. And Ashton was like, I don't know if it's a good idea, bro. And so the other EP, Jason Goldberg, was like, go get your Speedo anyway. So we went to my house. We got my Speedo. I got this green Speedo that I had got given to me from this other shoot we did. And I brought it anyway. And we get to Kimmel. We're in the green room, and I'm bouncing back and forth like we're all hanging out. And I walk into Bieber's dressing room. Mm-hmm. And the kid was like, at that point, we had known each other. Like, he had known me a bunch from the show. Yeah. And the kid goes, are you going to run out on stage or what? And I go, yeah, Ashton doesn't want me to. He's like, fuck that. I say you're doing it. And...
Well, when
it's the kid,
when the singer of Baby, Baby, Baby tells you to do something,
you got to do it.
You do it.
Yeah. But I walked back into. I mean, that's the power that kid is. I walked back into Ashton. I was like, Bieber wants me to do it. His whole team was behind it, and Ashton was like, "All right, fine." I mean, it was that easy to be like, "Yep." So then I waited off to the side, and I had my arms inside of my T-shirt and my jeans like halfway down my pants, just hiding behind the camera. And Bieber has this jacked up security guard, and he gives these signals to these other security guards. He tells one, and they're radioing. They're like, don't do anything, because this guy's going to run out on stage. But only these two the real security knew. Everyone else had no idea.
Right.
And after commercial, we came back. I ran out on stage in my Speedo, looking so awkward. Jumped on Kimmel's desk in doggy style and was waving my ass in the air until Guillermo ran up and tasered me. Twice.
So like
two times.
So like Guillermo's an actual security guard then.
Well, no, what happened was I mean, and this is so weird because it looks like that'd be set up then. Because at the beginning, Kimmel was like, we equipped Guillermo with a bunch of stuff in case these two guys try to pull something off. Of course. So he had like a taser. He had all this shit, but it was all for show. But the taser was a real fucking taser. Like, that was a bad part.
Did Guillermo know that it was a real taser?
I don't know. No, it was like the Crow all over again. Where did the bullet come from? Like, what did...
Oh,
I was
Brandon Lee.
I'm
too
sorry.
Soon. Yes. Too soon.
Too soon, 15 years
now,
ago.
It's, I appreciate that you drank before you did that. And obviously,
dude,
I would have to, because Santino came with me when I did Ferguson.
So fun.
And so awesome. Dude, didn't even think about how much looser that would make me, too. Because, you know, your agent's manager's like, we're all going to be there. And you're like, first of all, I'm just like, that's too many people.
Too much.
It's going to make me seem like it's too big of a deal.
Right.
Right. And you're going to psych yourself out. And honestly, God, what are your agents and managers going to do?
Nothing.
When they're there?
They just show face.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. And so we're joking around the whole time on the way there. And then we get there, which is keeping me super loose and just, you know, sharp and whatever. And not trying to do it, but it's just like you go with somebody that you just do that naturally with, and it helps. And we're sitting back there. And I'm like, maybe not nervous, but anxious for sure. Mm-hmm. I kind of like, you know, wrestle my leg a little bit. And he's like, and he goes, he's like, let's take a shot. Because they had a whole section of booze. And I was like, dude, I haven't eaten much today. I can't take a shot. Like, I'll be, it's just a little one, just a very little one. Mm-hmm. So we take like a, you know.
A baby shot, like a half shot.
Yeah. Like a Brad Williams
enough.
Shot.
Like, yeah. Enough.
The amount
like
of alcohol,
enough to fuck me up.
Yeah. Right.
The amount of alcohol we took, you would steal an airplane. Loosened me up entirely.
It was
and
awesome.
I mean, it was just, and then it was.
So basically, what we're trying to tell the kids out there is if you want to get into show business, stand up comedy,
or if you have
something really important to do,
right?
Booze it up, kids.
Booze it up.
Booze it up.
Well, actually, wait, I was going for an important meeting one time, and I was there so early at CBS Radford right over there. This is such industry talk. I was there really early, but I was at the Laurel Tavern, which I love, right over the hill. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'll just go maybe like chill out, maybe have like a beer. I don't know.
Because
I was early. I was really early.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there and I have one, and I'm like, I have another one. It's 6:30. Like, I can, you know.
Yeah, it's afternoon.
So I have another one, and then I'm just like, yeah, just pound one more. Because 3 is my lucky number.
Yeah.
So I'm like smashing the last one. The bartender was like, you in a rush? I'm like, I have to go to a meeting at CBS. He's like, you're going to go to a meeting after 3 beers? And like, I'm always fine with that because it was casual. But like, it put me in that moment in my brain, like, well, maybe I shouldn't have drank those beers now. Like,
yeah,
then
course.
I started to check myself.
Also, did somebody say something? Because sometimes if you have two and you're kind of on the fence about doing another, there's that peer pressure drinking where somebody says, even if the bartender goes, like, you're going to go for the hat trick? Like, that's all it takes.
that's all it takes
to make you go, put your head, like, oh, maybe I should go for it. Like, what does that even mean? But he's challenging you in a way where you're like, I should go for the hat trick.
And by the way, that happens to guys not just with beers. Like, you could be at a bar and you will see one of the ugliest women you've ever seen, and as soon as your buddy says, you're going to hit that, right?
Yeah.
You'll look at him like, well, obviously.
I can. Yes. Do I need to prove this? This is such like old school caveman. Well, okay, I can prove it. I'll prove it.
And prove it. You don't hear that anymore, by the way.
Prove it.
Well,
you know why? Because now you can.
Right.
With Google now you can prove it.
Google, yeah.
But prove it.
Give me a phone. Give me a phone.
If someone's like, dude, can you believe the Grand Canyon's 6 miles deep? And they're like, prove it, dude. And he's like, dude, shut up.
Watch this.
Yeah, now.
Siri, how deep is the Grand Canyon?
Right.
You know.
Right.
You stupid Jew. It's 6 miles deep, you know.
Wait a minute, Siri, that has nothing to do.
I never said anything about my religious affiliation.
I never gave you, yes, but you've Googled directions to several delis, and I came up with assumptions.
Also, your nose hit the screen.
Wait, dude, you know what's bad when you wake up the next day after like a hard night of like partying or whatever? And maybe this is just me, but I look in my Google Maps, like recently last search, and it's like McDonald's and Taco Bell. Like, what? Why did I do that?
Or is it ever like a weird search where it's like 7-Eleven, you know, Togo's helicopter? Like,
helicopter.
Why did I try to?
I was looking for food, and then I wanted air control.
What kind of ideas?
I thought maybe I couldn't get to the Togo's unless I got in a copter and took it to the McDonald's.
Wait, you know what's crazy though? Honestly, what you're talking about with the bartenders, the way they deliver it, they make you feel like you're supposed to get another drink anyway. They're so good at, like, every time they go, another one. And that's not saying, do you want another one? It's saying, we're having another one, yes? And you're like, yes, I do.
Yeah,
I will.
Yeah.
It's like,
if
bartenders could give a class to strippers, you would get 8 lap dances every
time.
You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because
Jedi mind trickery, man.
Because
It's really, I found a lot of times it's really easy to say no to a stripper if they're too just like, you want a lap dance? She's like, no, I don't want a lap dance.
Yeah, go away.
But it's when they talk to you and become, quote unquote, friends with you, like the bartender does first.
Yep, it's your buddy.
And then it's like, duh, you know, I could do a lap dance. People say I'm kind of good at them, but and you're just like,
right.
Yeah, fuck it. Yeah, let's do it. Right. Let's pay. Dude, I just got a lap dance in Canada, and it was the worst fucking lap dance I've ever got in my life.
Why?
Wait, where in Canada?
In Edmonton.
I was just in Ottawa.
At a club called A Boot.
A Boot. Hey, you go over to, do you know what Timmy Hortons is, eh? Timmy Hortons?
Oh,
Timmy
yeah.
Hortons is like
is
our.
It a real club?
No, Timmy Hortons is like our Dunkin' Donuts. It's on every. Listen, there's more Timmy Hortons, they said, Tim Hortons, more than McDonald's, Taco Bell, and KFC combined in Canada. The
Holy
revenue's more,
shit.
And there's more. Dude, watch any hockey game on every board is Tim Hortons.
Why don't we get them?
It's very strange, dude. But listen, let me tell you. I was just in Canada. I just got back yesterday. Every single person. Hey, man, is there somewhere to get coffee? This is Timmy Hortons over there, eh? Yeah, but is there, like, somewhere else? Well, so you need is Timmy Hortons right there. Like,
all
just
you need. They're
it's like there's
their brains are programmed.
Fucking Timmy Hortons.
They don't know anything
Why would
different.
You go anywhere
Timmy Hortons,
else?
Eh? Did you did you have poutine, by the way?
I did have poutine.
Do you know what poutine is?
Yeah, it's like a cracker you dip in cheese.
No. It's like gravy. It's like gravy and cheese curds on
That's
fries.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. Dude,
and
I mean,
it's amazing. It's
Canada is bananas. They have poutine at McDonald's. Like, poutine is like, it's like our, I couldn't compare it to anything American. Like, it's our.
Could you compare it to Vladimir Poutine?
that'll be the name of the restaurant, Vladimir Poutine's.
Stealing rings.
Now,
right?
if people see you walking around with, like, a Starbucks, and will they knock it out of your hand and be like, go get a Timmy Hortons, man. Don't
cool,
be a fucking
it's
asshole.
It's a little annoying with a Timmy Hortons.
See, if
they're
you have,
everywhere. Dude.
It's
if
like
you have
Starbucks.
Here.
Yes.
But more.
Way more.
If you have a Starbucks in Canada, people look at you like hipster.
Yeah, yeah.
like, it's like,
what's
oh,
this guy trying to prove?
Yeah, oh, he's right. Trying to be a rebel getting Starbucks.
I'll say this. Canada has just as bad, if not worse, of a diet than Americans. They eat shit.
Absolutely.
They eat, dude, and I, because I thought, I was like, ah, Canadians, they're all nice. They must be like, ah, you know, just go eat something healthy, eh? Like, no, dude, they eat the worst. The worst.
I literally got back from Edmonton on Monday. So you and I guess we're both in Canada at the same time.
We were both, I was over in Ottawa, yeah.
Yeah, terrible diet. Also, but I will give them props on one thing. Their money. Did you see the money?
The plastic money.
The plastic money. First of all, you can't rip it.
No, it's impossible.
You can't rip their money because you know how, like, you have a dollar and it's, like, it's barely hanging on. You try to tape it together. You try to do that thing. Maybe the cash register will take this one.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Yeah, but not in Canada. You cannot rip the money. And honest to God, I told this to my family. They thought I was joking. Like, they started laughing like it was a joke. It fucking smells like maple syrup.
Yeah, it does smell delicious.
It smells
maple
like
maple syrup, by the way, is one of my favorite smells on the planet.
And that's what their money smells like. So you don't even want to tip the strippers because it's like, I can't get away with this maple
it's
syrup
delicious
money.
Delicious money.
here's the thing. When you go to a strip club is they have these things called loonies and toonies,
yep.
Which is $1 coins, $1 coins, and the toonie is a $2 coin. So instead of tipping the strippers a dollar and slipping the dollar in their G-string, instead of making it rain, you're making it fucking hail. You are chucking loonies and toonies at these strippers.
Right in the face.
It sounds like some sort of like alternate, like the world that Willy Wonka was working on if he hadn't have raped Charlie and gotten put away.
Hey, he didn't rape Charlie. Prove it.
Google it.
Siri.
Wait, you know what's crazy? So the
play the audio of Charlie being raped by Willy Wonka.
Good
Come
day,
with
sir!
Me, and you'll see my dick made of chocolate and raspberry.
I'll put poutine in your butt.
Candy Willy Wonka. And the best is that so.
And a butt plug.
Sponsored by
If you
Oprah.
Want to feel my whole fist, open up your mouth and do it.
You need to be a Disney songwriter for days.
Anything you want, I'll prove it. Want to taste my cum?
Just do it.
Yes.
There is no hole I won't put my...
what? And then the Mia's Oompa Loompa comes in. What do you get when you don't use a condom?
I don't like the look of it. You definitely have HPV. Oompa, oompa.
Doopity-doo. Apply this 3 times or this will happen to you. Yeah. Show a dude just like, no! No!
Lick the snozzberries. Lick the snozzberries! Right.
Don't lick the snozzberries, man!
You said they were on a wall.
Oh, dude.
Oh, Canadian.
But the loonie is called a loon. Loonie because there's a loon on one side of the coin, dude. And no joke, they named the $2 coin a toonie because it rhymed. It has it has nothing. And also, do you know, Ray, they have the Queen of England on the on their money.
Well, that's awesome.
Well, they used to be an English colony.
Why don't they have Bugs Bunny on it?
It's the same thing to me.
but they also have hockey players.
Yes.
There's fucking hockey players on the five. And
I love that.
And I'm looking at, like, how badass would it be if instead of Abraham Lincoln...
We had Jordan?
We had fucking Jordan just skying over, like, Michael Duncan.
I mean, that'd be amazing.
We should have icons on money.
There's so much... And then the money is different colors.
Dude, why shouldn't Jordan... Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't we have actually, if they start going over 100, it'd be great if they were like, you know what? That's when they should do it. Like, if it was like a $500 bill, like, give it to Jordan.
Yeah. He's way more popular than George Washington.
Sure.
Nobody knows who Washington is anymore. You're right.
Because, George Washington chopped down a cherry tree.
Fucking
that's a fucking legend.
Michael beat Craig Elo 6 times.
Exactly. He pushed off on Byron Russell and made the last shot against the Jazz. You tell me Washington could post up? Washington can't post for shit.
George Washington had
but he had a good 10-footer though.
He did have a good 10-footer.
Who was his team? Who was like Washington's right-hand man?
He was the Washington Wooden Teeth.
Yeah, but who was like his who was his guy? Like, who's George Washington's John Paxton?
Who would that be?
Washington's John Paxton. I guess fucking Jefferson or John Hancock?
Sure.
What
who is his, we got to look up who his vice president was.
Google.
Siri, what presidential assistant to Washington is John Paxton like?
Bum, bum. Public school doesn't work.
Ask me where a Denny's is, bitch.
Well, here's something is... Two things happened to me when I was in Canada. I was at this club called the Comic Strip in Edmonton. Had a great time. Fucking great crowds. I got heckled, and then the heckler apologized.
That's so cool.
Which is like,
mid-show?
So nice.
Like, not at the show. Because sometimes people will heckle me and then have to show, hey, man, I know I shouldn't have said that.
Right. Or they'll heckle you and go, hey, you're welcome.
Which is the worst.
For fucking killing
throw a brick.
It.
We should be able to throw two bricks a show. Just bring up a brick, like, yeah, hey, would anybody talk anymore?
It sits on, like, the ledge, like, right behind you.
No, you put it right on the stool now. It's where, instead of your water, you have two bricks already on
stage. And
the host
just says, like, as the same thing about, like, hey, turn off your cell phones. Don't heckle the comics. If you do, they're going to throw a brick at you. enjoy the show. And you guys ready for your first comic? So you come on the stage. You've seen him on
so
Letterman.
Casually.
Yeah. Just like,
the bricks down. But, because sometimes people apologize after the show. No, this dude... I said something and he yells out like, was it a small problem?
Oh, God.
And then just stopped and went, I'm really sorry about that. I really shouldn't have heckled you there.
It
I really
a small
shouldn't.
Problem.
And I'm just like,
but you're a good. You love a good play on words.
Oh sure, no. And I actually thought it was a pretty good heckle, but it's
a heckle still.
Yeah, but then he just apologized. And I'm like, this is the nicest place ever. The guy literally heckles me and just goes, I probably should have not done that.
I love
you know,
that.
I'm sorry
I love
about
the
that. And so you had that, and then I also had the get cursed out by a Middle Eastern cab driver because they're up there too.
Oh yeah,
and I love when people who aren't from the country curse.
Oh yeah,
because they never do it right.
Right,
they don't know the emphasis of a good fuck you.
Yeah.
They don't know that it's like mother fuck bitch you mother
yeah,
punk
you fuck the cock shit you fuck.
Wait a minute, am I fucking the cock shit right now, sir?
Yes, you fucking a cock shit with your dick shit fuck.
He just heard, he was walking in, he was driving someone in West Hollywood and he heard out a window someone like, you're fucking my cock shit. Like,
I'm going to use that. That is perfect.
Oh yeah,
he must hit that guy
or keep fucking my cock shit.
Yeah, because what happened was I called a cab.
You fucking the cock shit. That's
I was exactly. fucking the cock
you
shit.
You just heard it out the window. That's where they get their insult.
Wait, by the way, I can't wait till we can. I can't wait till gay guys can fuck each other's cocks. I can just put a cock in another cock. It's gonna be like when they start.
They do that.
Yeah, I know space docking.
Yeah,
but
space
docking. But I want like real cock penny, like real full penetration.
Whoa.
That's like very zen of you right now.
Wait, did you just? I just. I. Wait,
you just saw a dick going inside of another dick. Yeah, dude.
What is that called?
It's called space docking.
It happens already?
Yeah. Well, no. It's when you put a circumcised penis into the sleeve of an uncircumcised penis.
Yeah.
Dude, it's
like
real.
Like pigs in a blanket? Why isn't it called that?
You're right. Oh, that would be so much better.
Or you call it the sleeping bag? It's called
space docking.
What's up, everybody? This is Tone Loc. Welcome back to Sleeping Bag.
Yo, that's unbelievable that even is possible.
Yeah,
you know what, man? The human body's incredible.
and that's how
Siri, did you know that you can put your cock inside another cock?
Boop boop.
I know.
Yes, I did. It's called the Army Hammer.
It's called putting on the turtleneck.
The turtleneck. That's another good one.
Yo, you know what? Do you know what it's called when you smash two Ritz crackers around your penis? It's called putting on the Ritz.
Who does that?
I do. I do.
You do. Of course he does. That's his go-to move.
My lady comes over and she's looking for some diesel. I smash two crackers and I say, "Eat up!" And I'm putting on the Ritz.
Well, it makes it better that you're wearing a top hat while you're doing it.
And a bow tie.
Absolutely, it's like you're on a little Chippendale show.
Wingtip shoes, putting on the Ritz. If you know where to go, give me a blowjob, putting on the Ritz.
Why do I think that you can get away with dirty talk and it didn't, like, that's why guys were so misogynistic back then, like slapping asses and calling women toots, because they had that voice.
Yeah.
And that voice just made everything funny.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if you were like, when someone today is like,
"I know, but sweetheart, I'm going to choke you." Yeah, like,
yeah, choke you, see, smack you.
Choke
you, know,
smack
fuck you in the tush pulp.
The tush pulp.
The I was going to say the tush poop. Obviously, the tush pulp.
The tush pulp.
But tush pulp, honestly, is a big problem here in the United States.
It's a huge problem. It's also a great Blind Melon cover band. They're playing at the Troubadour on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Coming to you from the Riverside Rib Fest, it's tush pulp.
They'll be singing "No Pain" by Melon.
They don't have a dancing B-girl. It's a dancing arachnid.
Wait, oh my God, on the radio yesterday, I have to say this. I was on Sirius XM, which, by the way, is one of the best. If you fucking don't have, get Sirius.
If you live in Los Angeles or a place where you drive a lot,
it's the best.
Yeah, stop listening to the radio.
It takes me away, dude. And I'm listening to like 90s on 9, and the song comes on. Collective Soul.
The World I Know?
Because it's the world I know. What's the world I know?
I will step to the edge to see my world below.
Let me say this. That was in 95, and I realized, like, early 90s kids will never know Collective
Soul.
And I was like,
The Bare Naked Ladies or Goo Goo Dolls.
They
just know Goo Goo Dolls now, which is basically Goo Goo Dolls of 10 years ago, because every song.
But there's so many bands like Collective Soul that I was like, I remember that blue album. Like, no one's going to know them ever again. They're going to fall away into fucking
obscurity. What else is Collective Soul? World I Know, they've also got another
December Morning.
December morning when they came to me.
Yeah, but there's another super famous one.
Dude, I love that album. Shine.
Is that it?
What's Shine?
Oh, fuck. People screaming at their
radios. Oh, Staring Down.
No, is that them?
Yeah.
Why don't you shine? No. Fuck. I know people are screaming like, sing Shine, you idiot. The biggest hit. Sorry.
Someone listening to this is going, I can't believe these guys don't fucking know Shine. It's like, it's the song of Collective Soul, man.
It's
pathetic.
I'm pretty sure it is.
I bet you're right.
I'm trying to look it up on my.
Yeah, there's a lot of you know, and I think everybody says like, "Oh, everything was so much better. We had the greatest music and shit." But it's like, what's going to be 10 years from now the 2000 station that, or I guess we got to get further removed from it. Like in 2030, when people listen to 2000s, what are they going to be like? Man, do you remember fucking
Britney Spears, man?
Right?
What's up with that? Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude.
You're Shine.
Coming at the brown,
looking for my change, trying to get a Kit Kat and a starburst at the store. I want some more.
You know what this sounds like? We'll be right back with WKQX, WBBM in the morning, Cincinnati. I'm Brian the Whip.
Just a reminder, Tush Pulp is playing at the Troubadour on Friday. Brad Williams, you can see him all weekend at the Pachanga Comedy Club, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday shows at 7 and 9. Oh, this is Collective Soul with Shine. They'll be playing, of course, at the Midnight Stroke Ball Fuck. They'll be playing at the Shit Cock Fuck, at the Fuck the Cock Shit, over at the tent on Tuesday at 9 o'clock.
Hey, guys, it's Lisa the Labia here with the weather and traffic. You know, it's crazy out there, going totally bananas, B-A-N-A-N-A-S. Back to you, Adam.
Thank you, Lisa, for that weather report. Coming up next at 5, at top of the hour, we're going to give away 2 free tickets to Tush Pulp. And also, Brad Williams, comedian in studio, going to talk to us about Cabo and about how far he can put a sweet tart up his urethra. Brad Williams in studio to Pigs in a Blanket with our with our sound guy, Barry.
Hey, I don't do that.
Wait. Oh, you're doing it, Barry. Now, Brad, have you ever done Pigs in a Blanket with another man?
Oh, yeah. You know, sometimes you're doing tour dates in, like, South Dakota, and you just get kind of lonely. So you call up the opening act, and being the headliner, they got to do pretty much whatever you ask them to do.
Of course, pretty much. Now, Brad, what time are the shows this weekend?
Shows are at 8 o'clock and 10:30 on Friday.
Great,
8 and 10 on Saturday.
Make sure to see Brad all weekend long at the Pachanga Comedy Club. We will be right back with more... Just a reminder, Tush Pulp tickets giveaway coming up on top of the hour. This is Collective Soul with Shine.
Oh, my fucking God.
Dude, wait, you know what's funny? Is I was in Canada
well
for
played.
The I was in Canada for the game, for the Heat game, and we were listening coming from the gig on radio, on sports radio. Nothing cooler than sports talk radio because they all sound exactly like literally it was like this. LeBron to Chalmers. Chalmers dishes it out. Board back down to Big Birdman puts it in. Still in Miami, 74-82. Like they, it's the same thing.
It's a formula.
Class.
But there's no banter. There's no color. Like it's exactly what it is.
Right.
LeBron's out. Got his new shoes on. Heading back in. Checking in. Still in Miami, 72-79.
Now the Heat need to make sure they stroke it up on defense here. The Heat are coming up a little bit slow in this quarter, Andrew.
LeBron, how do you think everything went? You know what I'm saying? Just probably off them something. And, you know, someone was thinking about the defense got to be know something. So it is, buddy, man, baby. We let them now, fam.
Sure, sure. Now, what about the second quarter? You guys really dropped the ball the perimeter defense.
Oh, man. Well, basically, the ball got one of those times it's on the beam. And I'm going to step up and it's going to be now. So you ain't going to let that Miami going to be that day counting, boy.
Great. Best of luck in the second half.
Best you.
They're
never coherent. But, no, and they shouldn't. And they fucking shouldn't be interviewed. Leave them alone.
Yeah.
Hey, what do you guys want to do the second half? We want to win the fucking game.
Yeah.
What do you need to know? What are you going to... By the way, if we did have something secretive, why the fuck would I tell you on national TV?
Yeah. Right. Also, I love that they always, when they go, you know, Tony Parker hits that game-winning shot, and they go, Tony, what were you thinking when you hit that?
Well, I was thinking, it's good to get the ball. You know, I like to... And then I shot it, and I go... You know, and I try to get a good look at it, and thankfully it went in. I just for once want to hear them say, I was thinking about fucking my ex, like something completely. Like well, when I got the ball for, to be
as
honest,
I was going up, I was
spaced
like,
out for a minute.
Eva Longoria left me, but that chick in the front row over there is way hotter.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
totally going to fuck her after the show.
I wonder how many of Oprah's butt plugs I could fit inside of her. Yeah, and then you know, to be quite honest with you, I was thinking that, and then completely forgot. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, shit, I got the ball.
Oh,
there's 2
basketball.
Seconds left. I'm playing basketball. And I dropped it, and luckily it went in.
My favorite.
Okay, next question for Tony Parker.
My favorite thing about pro athletes is when they don't even know how good they are. When it's like... You know, listen, I was deciding between, like, football, basketball, baseball, hockey, soccer, and tennis, and I went with that. Like, I love it when they're like,
yeah.
You got drafted by 3 other teams, and they're like...
9
yeah,
different sports.
Like, what's for me? You know, I don't know. Like, you know, Elway was duly
number
drafted.
Number one pick of the Yankees.
Did you watch that, by the way?
Dude, it was so amazing.
Elway to Marino?
Yeah, it was amazing. It was also nice to catch another little glimpse into Seattle sports history on how we fucking could have had a...
another coulda, woulda, shoulda.
Another coulda, woulda, shoulda, man.
Oh, yeah, because you guys...
We could have drafted Elway.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah,
but we drafted... exactly.
Someone who you don't
exactly.
know.
Exactly.
So.
But he didn't want to go to. He didn't want to go to Seattle.
No. Yeah, he did. He had family there. He
yeah,
was
he,
all about
but he,
it.
But what he wanted to do was he wanted to go anywhere but.
Baltimore.
Baltimore. But then he said this. How funny they were getting mad because they go. He had a great interview question and someone goes, but you know Baltimore is close to New York and you said you'd play for the Yankees. You know how would why would that be so different from Baltimore and playing for Baltimore? And he goes, well, they play their sport in the summer. So, I mean, it was so like classic, like yeah. perfect, like
right.
Yeah, dude, I would be in New York in the summer. So what the fuck does your question mean?
Yeah,
I'm not gonna go to Baltimore.
And that's
Baltimore
exactly what Bo Jackson.
Right? No shit. No
you watched
shit.
The Bo Jackson one, right?
Yes, it was amazing.
Amazing.
The guy that
the
can
same
shoot
thing.
Bow and arrow with his toes. Yeah, fucking amazing.
Yeah, Bono's toe arrows, but like it was the same thing. It was the same thing that where he goes. They're like, so you're gonna play baseball too? He goes, yeah. Some people just hang out in the off season. I'm playing another sport.
But he didn't just play another. Like, that
was
dominant. So amazing, dude. It's, he was.
That's. I'm glad that he was able to play as long, at least as much as he did, because he could have had that injury a month in. But
yeah,
what a bummer, dude.
Well, that's another
and
thing.
And kind of depressing when he was sitting there and he's like, "I'll watch the games." He's down in his dungeon making the arrows and yep. then shooting them. Spends more time making than shooting. And then he's like, "I watch a little bit of the game with my wife." And, 10, 15 minutes in, I'm just like, I'm over it. And she's like, where are you going? I'm going down, shave some arrows. He can't even watch
he's
the game
so,
because he's
like,
so, oh, it probably.
But he
yeah.
seems so happy, bro. I gotta
Does
say, he was
he's
I
so manly.
But I thought he was just like, he's content up there. Like, he likes the wood life. Dude, I think if he was desperate,
really,
he'd still live in a city in a bustling, like, he
maybe
likes
I took,
the country.
I guess I just felt so
it's
bad.
It's sad.
Because I felt when he was like, I can only watch a little bit of football. I think he's just so, he probably is happy. But, I mean.
It's hard, dude. That's hard to see that thing, bro. It happens to everybody, though. Like if years down the road in comedy, we're gonna be looking at comedy, and you're like, I remember those.
Right.
Even if you're in a good place, it doesn't matter. There's just it's a different time when you look back, and you're always gonna go, oh, that.
You're
thing.
Younger. It was exciting.
No, it was different. Yeah, it was. Yeah. I'm not complaining about my hotel. I'm not bitching about the, like you know, when you first start out, you like if you're like, dude, I'd sleep on the ground if they let me play the weekend at that improv. You know what I mean? And
right.
now you're like. I have to have a pretty nice suite, you know. It's just like it's because you get spoiled, and that's
yeah.
and that's what it is. And then when you look back, you're like, oh, I should have fucking. So that's what I think. That's what he was doing. He was looking back, being like,
I mean, the guy
I like that. I love miss yeah. those times. That's
the guy makes fucking arrows, and he's so manly. He just says it nonchalantly. Yeah. Meanwhile, I put together a lamp from IKEA, and I'm like, fuck yeah! Wow, I'm a man. I know how to use an Allen wrench.
You guys,
whoa!
Come over here. I made one of those hike and jike.
Can you make any? Are you consider yourself a man about
a handyman? Am I a handy
a man about town? A handyman, yeah.
I put together a lot. Yeah. I do a lot of shit around the house.
Because you learned to, or because you had to.
Both. I think it was more
like where you found yourself in situations where nobody was around to help you, or it was just
no. My
like,
dad was also good about being.
Yeah,
like,
he taught you shit.
He was also like, "Hey, come here, look at this thing I'm gonna do," and you had to just fucking
watch. I'm gonna put that in there, right. And it's gonna make that thing go. Wee.
Yeah, the cat? You gonna fuck the cat with Oprah's butt plug?
Dude, what a great way to tie it together.
Exactly.
Episode
and,
ready.
Yeah, and we got to wrap it up.
This cat. I did set you up for something that was well played,
see,
man.
Give me a home run.
See, that's just.
One of the best podcasts I've ever been on. Honest, so
serious?
Much fun.
Well, yeah, Anderson,
thank
Tino, we
you,
loved having
Anderson,
you.
Anderson,
thank you so much
by.
For stopping by.
Come
this
by
has been
the
About
House.
Last Night podcast. This is Brad Williams, Adam Ray. Andrew, go ahead and plug your Twitter, your tour dates, wherever you're going to
be. Sure, what are you going to do? All right, Andrew.
Thank you so much.
Well,
come on,
we really enjoyed you having you. It was a lot of fun.
Okay. We've got Touche Pulp tickets coming up at top of the hour. Make sure you're calling
pulp.
With the secret trivia question, which
Titty
is...
Titty Tamara is going to be in the Target parking
Titty
lot,
Tamara,
giving them out.
Giving away tickets. Guess how many titty operations she's had when two free front row tickets.
Here's
to Touche Pulp.
It's not
coming
four.
Up this it's oh! more than four. Well, how right. many is it? You're going to have to find out. Also, go to Twitter / Titty Tamara operation surgery to find out where those scars are hidden.
Andrew, where can people find you?
People can go on the Twitterverse. Go to Cheeto Santino.
I love that, by the way.
Cheeto Santino.
And everybody,
sounds like an 80s WWE wrestler.
That's Cheeto awesome. Santino. Yeah.
Where did that come from?
I used to tell in my act a long time. I don't really say it anymore, but it was this friend of mine, this big Mexican dude I played basketball with. After we went to play basketball, we were blacked out. And part of the joke is that, you know, white guys wear basketball shorts when we play basketball. And my Mexican friends will wear just whatever they woke up in when they play basketball. But honestly, and I was wearing shorts and we were
even
at the
a
bar.
Sleeping bag?
Yeah. It's called a space dog, man. Or a pig in a blanket. I was in his pig in a blanket. But we were at a bar. We're at a bar and he looks down and Pookie is his name. And he looks down at my legs and he goes, yo, Santino dog, fucking, like, I just happened to notice, but, like, did you got fucking orange leg hairs, dog? I was like, yeah, bro, I do. And he goes,
damn, dog, that's like, you know what that looks like? Like if you ate a bag of Cheetos, and when you were done, you just wiped the finger dust on your legs and shit. So for real, that's how I got it. That's how
you
got to
tell that story. Cheeto Santino.
Cheeto Santino on Twitter and on Instagram, and AndrewSantino.com is getting work done right now. I'm getting having this dude redo it. So for my dates and stuff.
Yeah, because stand-ups will start popping. And it'll really start popping once the show comes out. But
yeah, I've been out and about, but it's like I'm going to Atlanta this weekend. Atlanta Improv. If you're at the Atlanta Improv, you'll already have missed me.
I already did it.
Yeah, was it good?
Awesome.
Yeah, I've heard nothing.
And Brad and I are going back in October.
Yep.
The place I can't wait to go back to is the Denver Comedy Works. It's the best club.
Yeah. Best club in the
country. Yo, there's a bar at the Atlanta Improv. It's a 3-story thing. There's like 6 bars in there, all owned by the club. You can go to any of them. They'll hook you up. There's one at the bottom. It's like a speakeasy. You have to know a phone number, and they open a door.
Nice.
It's like, yeah, it's awesome.
Knowing me, I'll just totally have a phone number.
I close it out like 6 times. No, you're going to. No,
I'll get in?
Yeah.
Thanks for that. Actually, I quit boozing, man.
Oh, that's right.
No, I'm back on the train.
You got to go there and have one.
He quit during our podcast.
Go have one scotch.
Then I just popped in.
Go have one scotch, and then some guy will go, you want a hat trick? And then you'll have like 3 or 4
more.
He
goes, hat trick, yeah. That's it. Yeah.
Can you imagine if one guy goes, you're having 12 drinks tonight, right? Okay, cool. Do you want me to just bring them up one at a time? You're like, no, I can't yet. Yo, just bring 6 right now?
7 of them? Okay, cool.
Yeah, good. Call. Compromise.
You know, Brad and Cabo is 2-beer Brad, but Brad and Cabo was like 6-shot Brad
and
in the pool.
You were faded.
Woo!
Wait, when I ran into you guys at the Palm, that time that you guys were at the Palm.
Oh,
Vegas,
yeah.
Oh, wow.
You were pretty basted.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but he was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But
I think because he pounded like the 2 beers immediately.
Well, because you know what? There was like fucking like 10 hot chicks at the pool with you guys, like sitting around in those lounge chairs.
With him.
And you were like on it that day. You could tell that you were like, I'm in my fucking zone, dude.
Well,
girls
dude, when Brad walks up to a group of girls, it's like throwing a football into a group of girls. Like it's just
it's like throwing a football into a group of girls, holding a puppy.
Yeah.
And just like helping an old lady cross
the football
the
hits the ground, opens up, and there's puppies and chocolate.
Yeah. Yeah, and then like an eagle just comes down and lands on your neck, and you're like, what's up?
He walks up with great opening lines. He's charismatic.
It's Brad.
Brad.
It's a great show. He just comes up and girls are like, oh, who is that? It's Brad.
Come up smiling.
Welcome back to Watch What Happens When a Dwarf Walks Up to a Group of Hot Girls at a Pool.
STDs.
What? At one point, he was standing on the island in the middle of the pool. I can't. This was my moment that made me so happy because Five-O Goes West is one of my favorite movies
of
all time.
Dude. Somewhere out there.
Yeah, dude.
Bro.
This motherfucker, do you remember the song? There are no cats in a man. At one point. By the way, we hadn't spoken about Five-O Goes West at all.
It was an inside joke.
Even think between our years of friendship it'd come up in conversation.
Nope.
Standing on the island of the pool. After drinking and smoking out of an apple, this motherfucker stands there. Are you going to do a little dance for us? He turns around and starts shaking his ass like this and just starts going, there are no cats out of nowhere. And people are fucking clapping.
Did people know what it was?
The ones that didn't just thought I was a brilliant lyricist. Like,
yeah.
I don't know what the fuck No Cats in America means,
song.
But that's awesome.
Song, man, yeah.
And the streets are paved with cheese. Oh, yeah. It was perfect.
Wait, that's like I was in, I don't know where I was. I was in New York, and I was in a deli waiting in New York, and I was stoned in line, and I started saying, my little buttercup has the sweetest, smile. And some dude on the second time, because I kind of slowed down because I realized I was talking loud.
Sure.
I go, my little buttercup has the sweetest, and then he goes, smiley. This dude next to me, and I was like, oh, dude, thank you for getting that.
That's just one of those guy moments where you're like, no one knows how awesome this is, but this is fucking awesome.
Right, like you ever, sometimes I get, like if I get fucking really stoned when I'm on the road.
You get a song stuck in your head?
No, if I'm really stoned and I'm like walking down the street, and I look and I make eye contact with like someone else that's very fucking stoned, and you're like, I'm where you are, man. Like that's that moment in line.
Oh, it's a great,
when you're like, oh, we're at the same place.
Oh, yeah, dude. Oh, I got to tell this real quick. When I was at USC my senior year, when I was seeing a midnight screening of Half Baked, and there was a shitty university movie theater right next to the school in the shitty downtown part of the
theater.
Yeah, so midnight screening. So everyone's in line, and everyone's baked. Right. So everyone's standing there waiting in line, looking at everybody else baked. And you would have – I must have had 25 moments where I'm standing there, and I would look across the way at somebody else and make eye contact, and we both just go, It's like baked eyes and nod. So yeah. Anyway, we get into the theater. This is a great story. Get into the theater. 20 minutes in, this shitty theater, the film roll catches on fire.
That's amazing.
So starting from the middle of the screen, the movie catches on fire,
right.
And a fireball spreads across the entire screen from the middle, just separates.
That little white
and
dot just gets bigger.
Screen, and the entire screen just goes like that, and a whole fucking theater full of stoners go, and then they immediately turn the lights on, so everybody goes, and then the lights go on, and everyone goes, because the you know, you're high and it's dark, and then the light comes on real quick, your eyes
fucking fire in front of
and
you,
and so then everyone's screaming, and then you just start seeing people run towards the exits because they don't know what's going on.
And they're like, "You see the screen set on fire?"
One guy in front of me, and he goes, "We gotta get out of here." And he gets up. You don't know what was going on.
Wait, listen to this. Speaking of old songs from our childhood getting stuck in our head, I gotta divulge this,
please.
When I used to jerk off, when I first started jerking off.
Okay.
No joke, because of the time and the youth and what was in my head and pop culture, right when I came for the first couple of times.
What did you think about?
The song by Glenn Frey, The Heat Is On, from Beverly Hills Cop.
The heat is on.
I would be jerking off. Yeah, and be like, the heat is on. No joke, because heat it's on the street. I came.
Forgot my password. You need to punch in real quick.
Andrew, get out of the bathroom. Stop singing Glenn Frey. We got you a Glenn Frey album.
Wait, would you sing it to cover?
So would that be like some sort of like Pavlov dog response for you right now?
Yeah.
Like,
what are you playing?
Heard that?
No, don't. No, Brad.
Andrew? Andrew. Andrew, what the hell are you doing in there? Why is the shower on?
I can feel
that you need to get the fuck out of here. We're late for dinner. Hey, Andrew? Are you coming? It sounds like you're coming to this song, Heat Is On. God damn it.
Vin Scully here for Adam Ray, Brad Williams podcast. Still in Dodger Stadium. Andrew Santino signing off. Dude, thank you guys.
And who's the guy who was John Madden? Pat Summerall. Fourth and ten for the
Vin
Cowboys.
Scully and Pat Summerall doing a co-announcement.
Vin Scully.
And then there's Tom Dare, the guy from ABC Sports. He always did the USC games.
Keith Jackson.
Nelly. Matt Leinart, third and ten for the
He would always have a weird fact. He would go,
and Matt Leinart from...
Mike Jackson, by the way, is Kermit the Frog and Ray Romano.
You're always going to that.
Keith Jackson, Matt Leinart from Orange County. His dad loves mashed potatoes. Third and ten for the Trojans.
It's like you'd always have a real quick...
like going to Kermit the Frog and end it with... Yay! Adam, we're going too long. Plug your stuff.
All right. At Adam Ray Comedy on Twitter, AdamRayTV.com for my tour dates. I'll be at the Parlor Live next week in my home club, Seattle, and then the Punchline the end of July. And then I'm going to do Lucas Healy's room in Montana, the Billings.
All right.
Montana, the second week of July. Find all the dates and tickets on my site. And The Heat is out in theaters. Go see it.
Go see the movie The Heat. Go support our buddy Adam Ray, please. Go do this. It's a great movie. Support him. Follow me on Twitter at FunnyBrad. My website is BradWilliamsComedy.com. I got dates coming up at the Ontario Improv July 5th to the 7th. Tommy T's in Rancho Cordova July 11th to the 14th. And then coming back to Canada for the Just for Laughs Comedy Festival July 17th to the 27th.
I'll be there too.
We'll all be there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah.
The redhead, the Jew, and the midget coming back together for a reunion.
To get free tickets for the Brad Williams, Andrew Santino, and Adam Ray show, you can also call us at 1-800-444. By the way, they will be performing alongside Touche Pulp.
Come see us in Canada. Brad Williams, Andrew Santino, the Jew, the midget, and the ginger performing for Touche Pulp. Guys, it's been a blast. We're fucking out of here.
We're out of here for Brad Williams, Adam Ray, Andrew Santino. This has been the About Last Night show. Please try to remember our names in the morning.
And even fades it out.
That's so good.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it.
on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.